It was just after the sand that lightning began to strike so close and so constantly that Gus developed a new fear, which was that his gun barrel would draw the lightning and he'd be cooked on the spot. There had been some close lightning 3 days back, and the Rangers, Bigfoot particularly, had told several stories of men who had been cooked by lightning. Sometimes, according to Bigfoot, the lightning even cooked the horse underneath the man. Gus would have been willing now to risk getting himself and his horse both cooked if he could only have a horse underneath him in order to move faster. Just as he was thinking that thought, a great lightning bolt struck not 50 yards away. And in that moment of white brightness, Gus saw the somebody he'd been fearing. The Indian, with a great hump of muscle or gristle between his shoulders, a lump so heavy that the man's head bent slightly forward as he sat, like a buffalo's. Buffalo Hump sat alone, on a robe of some kind. He looked at Gus with his heavy head bent and his great hump wet from the rain, as if he'd been expecting his arrival. He was not more than 10 feet away, no farther than the badger had been, and his eyes were like stone. Buffalo Hump looked at Gus, and then the plain went black. In the blackness, Gus ran as he had never run before, right past where the Indian sat. Lightning streaked again, but Gus didn't turn for a second look. He ran. Something tore at his leg as he brushed a thorn bush, but he didn't slow his speed. In the line inside his eyes where the lightning stayed, there was the Comanche now, the great humpbacked Indian, the most feared man on the frontier. Gus had been so close that he could almost have jumped over the man. For all he knew, Buffalo Hump was following, bent on taking his hair. His only hope was speed. With such a hump to carry, the man might not be fast. Gus forgot everything but running. He wanted to get away from the man with the hump. If he could just run all night, maybe the Rangers would wake up and come to his aid. He didn't know whether he was running toward the river or away from it. He didn't know if Buffalo Hump was following or how close he might be. He just ran, afraid to stop, afraid to yell. He thought of throwing away his gun in order to get a little more speed, but he didn't. He wanted something to shoot with if he were cornered or brought down. At the guard post behind the chaparral bush, Call alternated between being irritated and being worried. He was convinced his friend, who had no business leaving in the first place, was out on the plain somewhere, hopelessly lost. There was little hope of finding him before daylight, and then it was sure to be a humiliating business. Shadrach was an excellent tracker and could no doubt follow Gus's trail, but it would cost the troop delay and aggravation. Major Chevalier might fire Gus, even fire Call too for having allowed Gus to wander off. Major Chevalier expected orders to be obeyed, and Call didn't blame him. He might tolerate some wandering on the part of the scouts. That was their job. But he wouldn't necessarily tolerate it on the part of a private. When the rain came, there was not much Call could do but hunch over and get wet. The bush was too thorny to crawl under, and he had no coat. The lightning was bright and the thunder loud, but Call didn't feel fearful especially. The bright flashes at least allowed him to look around. In one of them, he thought he saw a movement. He decided it was the wolf they'd heard howling. It was in another brilliant flash that he saw Gus running. The plain went black again, so black that Call wasn't sure whether he had seen Gus or imagined him. Gus had been tearing along, running dead out. All Call could do was wait for the next flash. When it came, he saw Gus again, closer. And in that flash, Call saw something else. A Comanche. The light died so quickly that Call thought he might have imagined the Indian, too. In the light, he had seen the great hump, a mass half as large as the weight of most men, and yet the man was running fast after Gus, and he had a lance in his hand.